Hebrews tonight. Hebrews chapter 11. You might have thought Hebrews chapter 11 verse 7 was a strange text to start from the other night because I completely left that text and talked about the Titanic. But there's not a verse in the Bible about the Titanic. You know, it's no use to try to find. But there was a contrasting captain, and that's why we started off with the old Captain Noah and the ark, and we didn't preach on that. We just used that as a launching pad. But now we're going to come back to it, and actually we're going to look at this verse and dig in deep tonight and see what God has for us here in the book of Hebrews chapter 11. Let's all stand to our feet as we read this verse tonight. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse number 7. If you're there, say amen.
Amen.
All right. The Bible says, by faith, Noah. Actually, let's all read it aloud together. I think that would be good. Are you ready? By faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. Micah, would you pray for us tonight? Why, Noah's ark. What a stark contrast to the Titanic. Although it's not a whole lot of stark contrast in size, but what it represented and how it was built is in the spiritual application is totally in contrast to the Titanic. And I want to talk about old Captain Noah tonight and the good ship of grace. You know, grace, the first time grace is ever mentioned in the Bible is Genesis chapter 6, verse 8, where it says, but Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. That's the first, they talk about the law of first mention. So if you want to start talking about and studying the topic grace, you need to start back there in Genesis chapter 6. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Thank God for that.
Amen.
I tell you, that shows me that grace was available. Way back there in those wicked times of Noah's day. And of course, boy, I think we're getting back to that.
Amen.
Jesus said, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the coming of the Son of Man. He also says, as it was in the days of Lot. Boy, we're about to get there too, aren't we?
Amen.
As it was in the days of Lot, so shall it be in the coming of the Son of Man. But let's talk about old Captain Noah tonight. First of all, I want you to notice the faith of Noah. Look at what it says. The Bible says, by faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear. Look what faith caused him to do. He prepared an ark. That tells me that Noah's kind of faith did something. It was a working faith. It was a faith. You know, people talk about faith everywhere now, don't they? But I'm afraid, Pastor, many times when people talk about faith, they don't know anything. They don't know the Bible. They don't do anything. And they don't live by what they profess. We got a lot of counterfeit Christians, I'm afraid, today. James says that faith without works is dead. Noah had a faith, but brother, his faith caused him to do something. By faith, he built an ark. He had a working faith rooted. Notice the second thing. He had a faith that was a word-based faith. His faith was in nothing less than the word, the very words of God Almighty. He had a faith rooted, a word-based faith. His faith was based upon what God had said. His faith was based upon what thus saith the Lord. His faith was based upon what God had revealed to him. And I tell you what, folks, I believe that the Bible is divinely inspired. It is inerrant. It is supernaturally, has been supernaturally preserved for us. And I tell you, the Bible is the absolute basic requirement of your faith. The Bible says faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Noah had a working faith. Noah had a word-based faith. And thirdly, think with me, Noah had a waiting faith. A real faith in the Lord is a faith that's willing to wait on God. Now, how long did Noah have to wait? A long time. Brother, his faith didn't waver. He kept his faith in Almighty God. He never laid down the hammer. He never stored his tools away. Brother, he kept hammering away for 120 years. Building that boat right out in the middle of the desert. No water nowhere around. Never has rained before. You're talking about faith. For 120 years. He and his family, his boys, no doubt. I think Methuselah probably drove a nail or two. We'll come to that in a minute. Because, you know, he was still alive right up until this happened. Well, 120 years, he had some time to help. But Noah had a waiting faith. A faith that caused him to make preparation. We saw that the other night, didn't we? Amos, the book of Amos, prepare to meet thy God. Noah waited because faith can wait. Young people, you need to learn how to wait on God. A faith that can wait. That's the kind of faith that Noah had. I want to tell you a story about George Mueller. Anybody ever heard of George Mueller? Great man of faith. Brother, he ran some orphanage homes, and they say that, boy, the cupboards would be bare. They would be out of food or out of milk or bread, and they'd sit at the table with nothing on the table, and he'd go to pray. And a bread truck would break down right in front of the orphanage. I'm talking about miraculous things happen because of the prayers of George Mueller. And I tell you, he was speaking one time in Chicago, and he said this, I have prayed for two men by name every day for 35 years. Now this praying man who knew how to get prayers answered, he'd been praying for 35 years. He said, whether I've been on land or sea, whether I have been sick or well, I have remembered them before God by name, requesting their salvation for 35 years. They are both still living. Neither of them is saved yet. I shall continue to pray for them daily by name until they are saved. That's good, isn't it? He said that one time in Chicago. I've been praying for 35 years. Now, 27 years later, after he said that, he was still praying for these same two men. What does that add up to? 35 and 27, that's 55 and 7, that's 62 years? Is that right? See, in other words, he prayed for his two brothers. He had two brothers, George Mueller. He prayed for his two brothers to be saved for 62 years. And guess what? God answered his prayer. And both of these men came to the Lord Jesus Christ. Mueller was a man of faith, and he had a waiting faith. He knew how to wait on the Lord and refused to let God go until God answered his prayer. You've been praying for that lost loved one. You ain't quit, have you? Don't quit. Don't quit praying. Brother, you got a need from the Lord that the Lord knows about. You taking it to the Lord, he knows about it. Don't give up on God. We said the other night, Caleb said, I want that mountain. God had promised him a mountain called Hebron when he was 40 years old. God came through when he was 85. But he never gave up on God. Where the grapes of Eshcol grow, God gave it to him. Wonderful place called Hebron. I tell you, Noah's faith, he had a working faith. He built an ark. He had a word-based faith. He had a word from God. And he had a waiting faith, a faith that was willing to stand alone. Do we have that kind of faith? Brother, we're not in a popularity contest. Boy, if Noah had been in a popularity contest, brother, he would have drowned with the rest of them. Don't you know they called him names? Don't you know that they said, that crazy man, Noah, look at him out there preaching, building that stupid boat right out here in the middle of the desert. How crazy can you get? But ladies and gentlemen, the more I see what's happening in the world today, the more I realize, the older I get, we're going to have to be willing to stand alone. Are you willing to stand alone for the cause of Christ? Our Lord Jesus, by and large, is still rejected, isn't he? By the world, neglected by so many others and thrown by a few of us, I hope. But I tell you, Noah was in the minority. By the way, be careful about following the majority. The majority is almost always wrong. Noah was in the minority, but he continued to believe the Lord. And it didn't depend upon appearances or circumstances. Rain? What's rain? He hadn't seen any rain. Nobody else had ever seen. There was nothing to suggest the possibility of a flood, but yet he believed God. He believed God. You know, if Noah had been like a lot of us, I'm afraid he would have said something like this: Lord, can't we just wait till some clouds start gathering before I start building this ark? No. He was not that kind of Christian. God says, just trust me. Trust me. Not seeing is believing. And believing is seeing. We need to have the eyes of faith to trust the Lord and His Word no matter what. So we saw Noah and his faith. Notice the second thing about Noah. Noah and his fear. F-E-A-R. Do you believe in the fear of God? I believe Noah did. Notice what it says. By faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear. So many people say today, if you talk to most psychologists, I'm afraid that most of them would tell you that fear is not good motivation. I beg to differ. The Bible says different. In fact, the Bible says the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Brother, a man or a woman or boy or girl doesn't have one ounce, one speck of sense until, or wisdom I should say, until they have the fear of God in their life. Not one bit. I don't care how intellectual they are. I don't care how many volumes of science books or history books or books about math or whatever. They may be Albert Einstein. Brother, if they don't have any fear of God in their heart and their life, they're in sad shape. And that's the way the world is, isn't it? Who have you met lately that you felt like really had the fear of God in their life? Including yourself. Look at yourself in the mirror. Does that guy have any fear of God when you look at yourself in the mirror? I hope that guy that you look at, that woman you look at in the mirror, does have some faith, does have some fear of God in their heart. You know what? People talk about the love of God, and I'm all for that. But I tell you what, I don't believe there's any contradiction between the fear of God and loving God. In fact, I believe he that loves God most fears God most. And I believe that he or she that fears God most loves God the most. I believe they work hand in hand. The fear of the Lord and the love of the Lord. You know, people don't have any problem with somebody else besides God striking fear in their heart. Like, you know, you get a hurricane warning. They want to know about that kind of stuff so they can start boarding up their house. Or a doctor tells them, you better not be eating this. You better not be injecting this in your body. Well, that's a warning, isn't it? I appreciate that, Doc. Thanks for giving me that word of warning. Somebody down on the side of the road, bridge out. We appreciate that, don't we? Why is it people get up so upset at Baptist preachers or God Almighty, in fact, when he gives them a warning? Because when God gives you a warning, brother, it's just as true. In fact, it's more true than any of these other things. When God says it, brother, we better believe it. And we better act upon it. This is something that we've lost today, I'm afraid. Well, if the Bible wanted us to say, reverence God, why didn't the King James writers put reverence in there? I've heard so many preachers water this thing down. They don't want to talk about the fear of God. Why don't preachers want to talk about the fear of God? Brother, I fear him. Amen. I absolutely tremble in my boots before a thrice holy, all-powerful God. Is that a sin? The Bible says Noah was moved with fear. We've lost it, Pastor. I know this building is not God. But I know God meets with his people in this building. I can remember the old timers, my papa, as I said, was a Baptist preacher. I can remember them talking about things like this. I got saved at the Pleasant Hill Baptist Church, Cherokee Falls Road in Blacksburg, South Carolina. Road goes by the church there, Pleasant Hill Baptist, and I can remember them telling stories about old drunkard walking down the street. You know, sort of three sheets to wind like you were talking about. Walking down the road, you know. And they got to watching him, you know. And I noticed every time he walked down the road, if he was anywhere near the church property, now let's pretend like this is Pleasant Hill Baptist Church. And right here is this side of the road. And this is the other side of the road. If he was walking up and down Cherokee Falls Highway, they noticed that he never would walk on that side of the road. And they figured out something. He figured that ground on the other side of the street was holy ground. Isn't that something? In other words, a drunkard back in the day probably had more fear of God in his life. Amen. Because of what he'd been taught as a young man. Even though he ain't saved yet. But boy, it's good if you still got some fear, though.
That's right.
There's some hope for a man or a woman that still got some fear of God because the way they was raised, the way they was taught, at least they got some fear of God in them somewhere. But a drunkard, I'm afraid, back in the day, probably had more fear of God in his heart and life than the average so-called Christian does today. Ouch. We've come a long way, baby. My papa used to, boy, he'd get red in the face. I can remember in the 60s, you remember that Virginia Slims commercial came out? You've come a long way, baby, to get where you got to today. You got your own cigarette now, baby. You've come a long, long way. He'd get all red in the face. He couldn't stand that. He couldn't stand it. I appreciate that. Never has left me. People had fear of the Lord back in those days. We don't have a whole lot of it left today, I'm afraid. I tell you, Noah, if he had not have feared God, he would not have built an ark. What does Jesus say about fear? Well, it said in Matthew 10:28, and fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. I didn't say that. Jesus Christ said that. Brother, we better learn to fear God Almighty. You better teach your kids to fear God. It might not help them today, but it might help them down the road. It might help them. And it will help them, no doubt about that. I tell you, people are in supreme danger today and they don't even know it. You see, one day men, women, boys, and girls are all going to stand before God unpardoned, unforgiven, uncleansed. What a fearful day that's going to be. What a fearful day. And with death going on all around us, and we still don't have any fear of God, we don't know when we're going to pass away. You hear about the bus in Texas? Just yesterday or the day before yesterday, had a bunch of senior saints on the bus. 12 of them. Everybody except one on that bus got killed. An oncoming pickup truck swerved over in their lane and hit them head on, killed 12 out of 13 of them. No doubt they were going on an outing, having a wonderful time. I tell you, folks, you could be young or old and leave this world. You never know when it's going to happen. Are you ready? Fear has been watered down in our day. In America, there's no fear of God. That's what's wrong with our country. God is mocked. He's slandered. He's blasphemed. He's ridiculed. He's the object of jokes. I can't stand comedians, so-called Christian comedians who use God in their comedy in a sacrilegious way. I can't stand that. To me, it's blasphemy. I would recommend if you got any of that kind of junk in your house, it ain't funny, get rid of it. We'll charge you no extra for that. We laugh at holy things today. We got a whole generation of preachers like Noah, who's willing to stand up and say, "What thus saith the Lord? The wrath of God's coming. The judgment of God." I'm a judgment preacher, I confess, because it is coming. Noah preached judgment for 120 years. Didn't do nothing. He didn't have not one single person get saved, brother, other than his sons and their wives and his wife. 8 souls, the Bible says. But outside of his own person, he had not one single convert. Was it still worth it? Oh, yeah. It was to the saving of his household. I tell you, I'd rather frighten you into heaven than to lull you into hell any day. So many people go to church, they get their back scratched and their ears tickled. I tell you, we don't need those kind of preachers. We need fiery preachers that are willing to preach hell hot and heaven sweet. That's the kind of preaching I was raised up on. That's the kind of preaching that we still need today. Noah and his faith, Noah and his fear. He was moved with fear and he built an ark. Notice thirdly tonight, notice Noah and his foresight. Moved with fear, the next phrase says, prepared an ark. He had some foresight. God gave him that foresight. Noah made every preparation. Everybody else was indifferent. They didn't care about what he was doing. Noah's generation was warned directly by Noah himself. I also believe that they were warned by Enoch's son, Methuselah. And the name Methuselah means that when he is gone, it shall be sent. You know, the year the flood came is the year that Methuselah died. He lived 969 years upon this earth. And he died the very year that the flood came. So Noah warned the people for 120 years. Methuselah was a contemporary of Noah. He lived 969 years. And his very name was a warning. That shows us that God's patience and God's love will finally turn into God's wrath and into his justice. And even now the raging waters of God's wrath are fiercely pounding against the dam of God's mercy. God's mercy is still being extended, even tonight. But it's not going to last forever. Did you know that Methuselah, if you'll do the math, Methuselah is connected all the way back to Adam. Methuselah was upon the earth 243 years before Adam died. Isn't that something? It blew my mind when I come to this realization. So those people, through Noah and through Methuselah, were connected all the way back to Adam and knew about the Garden of Eden. They knew about the sin. They knew about the expulsion from the garden. They knew about the coats of skin, the way of salvation, the sacrifice, the blood sacrifice of Abel, and Abel being dead yet speaketh. They knew about all that. They knew about the things of God. Noah was a preacher of God. He made preparation. He had foresight. And he told the people what was going to happen. But they wouldn't listen. Fourthly tonight, notice Noah and his fortune. I believe he put everything he had. I believe he put all of his energy. I believe he put all of his resources. I believe he put all of his finances, his money, his time. Everything he had was invested in that ark for 120 years of building. All the time while other people were doing everything else. They were investing in other things, money-making ventures, no doubt. Buying, selling, marrying, and giving in marriage, the Bible says. While Noah was putting everything he had into that ark. Don't you imagine people were saying, "How poor Noah is getting while we're all getting rich." Look at him, that crazy Noah out there wasting his time on that boat. I mean, he's been out there pounding on it for 120 years. What a bad bargain Noah's getting. Boy, had they only known. The Bible says that Noah became an heir of righteousness. You know that ark, we referred to this a little bit, I think, earlier this week. The ark is a picture of our Lord Jesus Christ. 1 Peter 3:20 gives us a picture. You know, the ark was made of gopher wood. And the modern name for gopher wood is cypress. And we know that cypress is decay resistant. That speaks of the incorruptible humanity of our Lord Jesus Christ. Are you in Him tonight? Are you safe in the ark of Jesus? And the shape of the ark. Well, I think it was not much like the Titanic. I think it was rather different from the Titanic. It was a huge vessel, but I think the ark looked more like a floating coffin more than the Titanic. It wasn't beautiful. It wasn't luxurious. But you know what the ark typifies? As we get saved and we're in the ark with the Lord, it pictures that as we die with Christ, that we're going to live with Him. Have you died with Christ? The Bible says when you get saved, that's what happened. You're dead with Christ and you're raised with Him to walk in newness of life. We know that's what baptism symbolizes. And then think about the safety of the ark. Brother, it had pitch. And pitch, by the way, was some type of gooey, sticky, tarry-like substance. Pitch, it was pitched on the inside and on the outside. Did you know that the word pitch is translated 70 times in our Bible as the word atonement? The same word, atonement and pitch. Boy, if you're covered with the blood, if you're sealed with the Holy Spirit, brother, you're safe. You just don't know how safe you are. Noah and his family probably just didn't know how safe they were in that ark. But boy, they were safe. You know why? God was in there. In fact, when it was time to get in the ark, the Bible says, the Lord says, come thou, Noah, and your family, come into the ark. That tells me that God was already in there. I want to be where the Lord is tonight, don't you? Think of the size, the immense size. Boy, it could compare with the Titanic on that. It was so big that all the animals of the entire earth, two by two, could get on there. But you know what? There was room for more. That tells me, brother, there's room at the cross for you. Though millions have come, there's still room for one. There's room at the cross for you. And even after Noah and his family got on board, the Bible says that God left the door open for 7 more days. 7 more days of grace that they could have got on board. But brother, when God shut that door, no man could get in. Even Noah could not open that door. You see, the ark, the structure, it had one door and it had one window in the top. The Bible says that God controlled the door. And Noah controlled the window. You see, Noah could only look upward through that window. In other words, he was to keep that heavenly view the whole time he was sailing on that water. God shut the water out and he shut Noah and his family in. Noah was to be heavenly minded, but God put Noah and his family and all those animals in that ark. And then God shut the door. The Bible says when God shuts the door, no man can open it. When God opens a door, no man can shut it. Can you imagine after God shut that door? Strange, eerie silence, no doubt, Brother Gilbert. Can you see the sky? Never has happened before. But all of a sudden the sky begins to boil and darken. Great storm clouds are gathering. And then all of a sudden there's flaming fingers of fire that are flashing across the dark sky, and there's great booms of thunder. People have never seen it before. Brother, the water begins falling. Not in just little sprinkles, brother. The water begins falling in great splotches of rain. The Bible says, we don't know exactly how this happened, perhaps a great earthquake, but the Bible says that even the depths were broken up. The great deep was broken up. The fountains of the deep were broken. No doubt there was water not only coming down from heaven, but there was water coming up out of the earth. Brother, the water began to rise fast. No doubt people began running for high ground. They're climbing every tree. They're climbing up every mountain they can get a hold of. But brother, It did them no good. The waters keep coming. The waters keep covering up all the mountains. The water keeps covering up all the hills. The water keeps covering up all the trees. Can you hear them begging Noah now to open the door and let us in, Noah? We're sorry. But God controlled the door. Noah only controlled the window. Noah could not let them in. It was too late. Jesus said in Matthew, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the coming of the Son of Man. Are you ready tonight? The Bible teaches that, of course, the rainbow in the sky tells us that God's never going to destroy the world again by water. But there's another prophecy there. God will destroy the world again. But the next time is going to be by fire. The Bible says the destiny of the lost is a place called the lake of fire. That's a terrible destiny. I tell you, there's another destiny that I chose a long time ago. When I was just an 8-year-old boy, I chose Jesus. And you know what comes with Jesus? It's a place called heaven. And thank God for the saved. That's where your destiny, your final resting place will be in heaven with the Lord. If you're not saved, friend, I beg you to get saved tonight. Come into the ark of safety. Go where God is. Trust Jesus Christ, who is the ark of safety. He is the only one that can save you. The Bible says He came to seek and to save that which was lost. Would you come to Jesus and be saved today? Let's all stand with our heads bowed and our eyes closed.